Today, we finish up our sermon series on spiritual disciplines, and I want to look today at the discipline of celebration. I know we've covered a lot of ground this summer. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's been a practical type of sermon series, and you know, I really do believe that you need to have something practical pulled out of the gospel if you can't find it yourself. I believe that the gospel is very practical, but sometimes we miss it and we forget, and we run into trouble there, and then we just forget to do, we just don't do stuff, and or we don't know how. I don't know if many, when you first became a Christian, if you went to a discipleship class or not, but those are important ways to get people practicing their relationship and growing in their relationship with God. And all, people think, well, you know, it's God. It should be free-flowing and whatever. You don't need to whatever. But you do. There are things you need to do. You need to make choices. You need to make decisions, and whatever that looks like. And so I believe that when we speak to you on Sundays, you need some type of practical thing to run out. Even if you just grab one thing, that's all that I ask, and that you try to implement it in your life. So today, our focus is going to be on the spiritual discipline of celebration. And I think in our world today, we can get so caught up in the news. How many people watch CNN? Don't. Just don't put up your hand. Please don't. How many people are watching Fox News? Just stop. All of it. Stop all of it right now. Because I'm telling you right now, what happens is there's so much negativity, it's so hard to see any of the good stuff. You know, just give me a squirrel water skiing, you know, in a pond. Give me something. But they give me nothing. They don't give me anything. And it's frustrating. I look on there and it's Trump this and so-and-so this and whoever that and North Korea this. And it's just so negative. They don't have anything positive to give. And when we look at our own news locally and internationally in Canada, it's like attack this person, attack that person. And somebody's getting killed here and shot here and this, that, and gangs. And there's so much negativity. And again, this stuff is not new. Okay, let me tell you for a minute. We just have quicker coverage of most of this stuff. You go back 15, 20 years, you know, you wouldn't have got this news so quickly, but we're getting so much of it so quick. There's so much negativity. It's just overloading. And especially nationally here, we have negative stuff, even though we seem, you know, like we're doing better than everybody else. But there's other stuff happening within our own system. Taxes on small businesses and all that kind of stuff are at risk. And there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. And that's all everyone focuses on. And so if you own a small business, you can be concerned about that. There are other things that you can get worried about. And it haunts you and it bothers you. And we have difficulty enjoying the lives that we have right here and right now. We have difficulty finding joy in our everyday lives, and we have a difficulty in finding a reason to celebrate. I believe that because things are so fast moving, we can easily lose the importance of celebration. You finish one thing, only to be pushed to do something else, without actually taking the time to appreciate what you just did. How many have been in this boat? You work hard at something. It's like, well, we got more to do. If you're at a job where, you know, it's about productivity, it's about keeping things moving, because you know what? The competition is moving. Nobody's stopping, so get out there and start moving. You just did something great, but there's no celebration for it. And we've lost it because, you know what? We're on to the next thing. Got to make money. We've got to keep moving. And so we can never appreciate what we've done, and we can never appreciate what someone else has done. Because, well, that's great, but what have you done for me lately kind of mindset. And it's not always that self-centered, but it's like, okay, we've got to keep moving, we've got to keep going. I think there's also within our society, there's a mindset of apathy or boredom that has infected our society, and it's quite sad. Have you ever gone to a restaurant where the server is quite apathetic? Am I the only one? They're sorry that you even walked in the door. They're like, oh, do I have to deal with this person? Or better yet, you don't exist. You're not there. I'm 6'2", a couple hundred pounds. I don't, you know, I think I'm hard to miss. Or you go into a store and the till person, I don't know, cashier, there you go, is just like throwing things by. You don't even know if it's scanning or not. They're in robot mode. Just, yeah. You're like, how's your day? Okay. I guess your day's not good. Sorry for asking. And I always try, Michelle's like, you always try to get them to laugh. Why? Because I don't like looking at a miserable person. That's really, and I think they need it. I think they need it. And I think if I do it, the next person will get a happy one. Look at the happy cashier. I get it. There's pressures, there's life, whatever. But, you know, I don't know if you've ever, have you ever been to a Tim Hortons? Have you ever worked behind the counter? Who's worked behind the counter of a Tim Hortons? Nicely, we got four of us. Is there anybody up here, Tim Hortons? No? Okay. They work hard, five of us. It's crazy back there. It's insane. I burnt myself so much. I always go on camp day. Well, I can't say I always do. I accidentally missed this year. But I like to go there because I like to be involved with all the workers there. And they do their job. They're very good at doing their job. They're very focused. And I try to break that focus. I'm the one that stirs up the pot a little bit. I get in there and I cause some trouble just to kind of make them smile, laugh, and have a good time. And I always I always get there, and you can tell they're like, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Why is he even here? He's going to interrupt the whole process. We got numbers, numbers. We got numbers. And I can see in their mind there's a little ticker, and they got to serve you quickly. They got to keep it moving. And I'm like, we can do this, and we can also make your numbers, but we don't have to do it miserably. We can do it very happy. And so on camp day, I'm in there having a good time, whatever. And some customers come in and they treat the servers poorly. And so because I'm standing there, I tend to stick up for them because they're not going to fire me. I'm volunteering. Come on. Right? And so I give it to the customer, and then all of a sudden they go, okay. And then they act nice. And then I joke with them, try to make everybody happy. Everybody's happy. We're joking with the workers, and we have a great time. And it catches on. And so a little bit of joy, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, a little bit of joy placed in there infects everyone. Why don't we be that? There are days when you don't want to, believe me. I'm not exactly the best morning person before coffee. I like my sleep. I love sleep. I don't like being interrupted in my sleep. And so if I've had a rough night's sleep, I can be a little bit irritable. And so I don't speak words when I'm that tired. And I just move on. And it would be hard for someone to motivate me. And so I get it if you're in one of those moods, or it's just, you know, you're back at work and it's exhausting, and I get it. But I'm here to tell you today, there is a time in our Christian walk, in our regular everyday lives, to celebrate. We have to take the time and stop. Psalms 150, verses 1 to 6. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and with harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. 1 Corinthians 10:3. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And of course, we all know Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time for everything under the sun. There is a time to mourn, and there is a time to dance. There is a time to embrace, and there is a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to search and give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. Time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, time to speak, time to love, time to hate, time for war, time for peace. There's a time for everything. And I'm here to tell you, there is a time to celebrate. There are many celebrations throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament, God gave Israel many celebrations, the Feast of Booths, the Year of Jubilee. There's a lot going on in the Old Testament. Social stipulations, all the social stipulations of the year of Jubilee, canceling of debt, releasing of slaves, planting of no crops, returning property to the original owner. You know, I'm telling you right now, if we brought in the year of Jubilee every 7 years, man, your mortgage is gone. That would be fabulous. Maybe we should do that. If you want to run for office, let's try and push that one. I think you might get in. They were all a celebration of the gracious provision of God. And in the New Testament, we've got the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper isn't, the outcome of it was sad at the time, but it's a celebration of what Christ is going to do. Baptism coming up. Man, if you haven't been baptized, you want to do it on the 80th. Like, what a cool time to do a baptism is on the 80th anniversary of this church. And we're going to have past pastors, and it's going to be good. Well, when I say that, one will definitely be Ted because he was here for like 100 years. And then we'll have other ones. But there's a lot of people that were invested in this, that have invested in this church. But baptism, that's a celebration. I don't know about you, but Christmas, Elise, there you go. It's a celebration. Forget the commercialization of it all. Easter, it's not about the bunny. I'm here to tell you, the last time I checked, the bunny, that was added, whatever. It's not about the bunny. And I have to explain that to people sometimes. They're like, why do you, what's with Easter? I'm like, ugh, come on, really? Where have you been? Everyone knows about Easter. But there are people that really don't understand it. They really don't. But ancient Israel was commanded, and we're not going to get into these, but was commanded to get together 3 times a year to celebrate the goodness of God. And they were festivals, holidays, and they were huge. They were put on a high pedestal. They were experiences that gave them all strength. It brought unity to the people together, the people of Israel. And I believe that it has the same, that celebration can have the same results for the church today. That's why we do what we do. That's why we have big celebrations. That's why we celebrate women and fathers and men and we all that. We have big events. We have fall fairs, which this year is different because of the 80th, but we're celebrating the 80th because it's a big deal. Christmas time is a big deal. I do enjoy Christmas. I like it. I don't want it to be a sad time. I want it to be exciting that he came, all the prophecies of old fulfilled in this one person. Incredible. And so we will always celebrate those things. But what do you do in your own personal life? And so before I get into practically, I want to talk about the benefits. I want to talk about the benefits of celebrating. And it's these are simple, but sometimes we need to be reminded of what that may be. The benefits of celebration, the very first one is it brings strength. Celebration brings joy to life, and joy makes us strong. Like I talked about when I get excited and try to get everybody going in the Tim Hortons back counter, it's contagious. It gets people going. In Nehemiah 8:10, Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink and send some of those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength." Scripture tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I've had people say to me, "Why are you so happy all the time?" Well, I'm not always happy all the time, but I try to be. But when they see me, I'm just happy. A lot of times, I'm just happy to be here. That's one of my great sayings, happy to be here. Just happy to be here, because otherwise, why am I here? If I'm not happy to be here, go home. There's no reason. If you're going to be miserable and be here, be miserable elsewhere. Right? Because that is also infectious and brings everybody down. So if you got a problem, let's work it through. But don't stay there. Don't stay there. And so when it says the joy of the Lord is a strength, it is strong. It impacts everyone. We cannot continue with anything for very long without joy. How many have given birth? I'm not raising my hand. I'm just saying I was there. It looked painful. The joy of birth is not the experience of giving birth. Correct? Women? Ladies? Or do you just love it? Just love the pain and agony? The joy of birth is the baby. The joy of birth, and we'll talk about that in a minute, the joy of birth is motherhood. That is the joy. Now, that's whether you've given birth or not. Whether you've adopted, it doesn't matter. The point is, motherhood is the joy of all the pain you go through, however you get there. When you first got married, who knew it was going to be smooth sailing until you retired and died? Because that spouse of yours is perfect, and you're perfect, so everything's going to work out just great. There's going to be no problems. No, you get married, you go through the hard stuff because of the expectation of this great relationship, however long. Some people take a little bit of a different road, but they get there. So the struggle through the first difficult years, if we all gave up in the first few years because of our spouse or significant other, would they be with you? That's up to you to answer. I'm not going to answer that. And don't say it out loud because your spouse is near. And you know what? Parents, that beautiful baby boy or girl that brought you so much joy, you got teenage years to go through. And you're going to work through those teenage years with the hope they come out the other side human again. I would say normal, but that's putting a lot on normalcy. I don't know. I don't know if I can say, I can't make any promises when it comes to they'll be normal when you get out of teenage life. But you go through that struggle and you work through that pain, whatever it is, for this. For the joy of being a parent. Does that mean it always turns out perfect? No. Does that mean you may still be struggling through? Yes. But he is with you no matter what you're going through right now. We need to celebrate the things in life, because celebration is central to every single discipline that we've talked about over the whole summer. Celebration is central. Without a joyful spirit of celebration, the disciplines, the spiritual disciplines, become dull, boring, and they're weak. If we have no celebration, we become like the Pharisees of Jesus' time. It turns us into religious robots practicing our disciplines with our heart detached. We just do it because we have to. Celebration, secondly, can pull us out of sadness or depression. With all the people that I deal with when it comes to PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, and critical incident stress, the one thing that they all have in common is they don't celebrate anything anymore because they can't get there. They can't get there. So what happens when you can't celebrate anything? You lose joy. You have no joy. So celebrating, even if you're going into it feeling depressed or sad, will pull you out if you celebrate. Celebration is huge when it comes to every aspect of our spiritual walk in our life. Celebration can pull us out of depression. Job has a great response in these times of trouble. Job, and we don't have to go into it, many of you know, but he went through a lot. He went through a lot. Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. This guy had everything taken from him. He has a reason to be upset. He has a reason to be depressed and sad. Yet this is what he says. Psalms 34, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. Stop right there. I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. Are you able to say that? Am I able to say that no matter what happens? That's loaded. Loaded. Because no matter what we're going through right now, we've got it made at this point in time in our life. There are lots of other people in other countries that are going through way worse. I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of his glories and grace. I will boast of all his kindness to me. Let all who are discouraged take heart. Let us praise the Lord together and exalt his name. That is difficult to do. That is very difficult to do on our own. On our own. Can we say that? Can we say that you will praise the Lord no matter what happens? It's a tough one. Another benefit of celebration is its ability to give us perspective. We can learn not to take ourselves so seriously. At the same time, we lift others up when we celebrate. When we let go and celebrate, we are letting down our guard and we become vulnerable. How many people love to be vulnerable? You love it? No, I don't see a lot of hands. Okay, so it allows us to be vulnerable. When you're celebrating and you're excited, celebration also brings us, like I've already talked about, joy. We all know that it's contagious, and we talked about that. So the benefits of celebration are strength. It can pull us out of sadness and depression. It can give us new perspective, and it brings us joy. But in our regular, everyday lives, how do we celebrate practically? Well, let's look into a little bit of this real quickly. Most of our experiences of celebration, most of our celebrations have lost or lacked meaning. Sometimes we don't know why we're celebrating. Sometimes we don't know really what's going on. And so when we lose meaning of that, it's really hard to celebrate because we don't understand what we're doing. Sunday mornings is a time to celebrate. Maybe you don't feel like it, but this is the time we come together to celebrate. So a practical way is to not worry about who's around you, but it's to sing, it's to dance, and it's to shout. I'm not going to get you to do that right now. You already sang. We kind of danced. If a professional watched, I don't know if that's considered full dancing, but you gave it a good college try. And shouting. See, in Psalm 150, we see the celebration of the people of God with trumpet, with lute, with harp, with dance, with strings, with pipe, with loud crashing cymbals. They made noise. They were excited. The children of Israel, when they fled Pharaoh with the direction of God, Miriam, the prophetess, just to let you know, a little plug, women in ministry, Miriam, the prophetess. Again, I think you know where we stand now. I'm pretty sure you know women, good in ministry, thumbs up. She led the people in a great celebration of dance in Exodus 15:20, a celebration of dance. I don't know about you, but if you go back 20 years ago, dancing was a no-no. You couldn't dance. You weren't allowed to dance in certain denominations because it was of the devil, and things happen to the when the devil's involved in dancing, bad things happen. But if you're dancing before the Lord, what's the big deal? It's okay to move. It's okay to tap your feet. It's okay to dance. David, leaping and dancing before the Lord with all his might in 2 Samuel 6:14 and 16. And so singing and dancing is okay. There's nothing wrong with it. As long as the focus is on God, that's the key. Everything we do is about where your heart is and where you're focusing. What's your focus? So practically, we can sing, dance, and shout to the Lord. Laughter is another way. There's this big movement a while back. I don't know if you guys remember that, the laughing prophet. How many remember the laughing? He'd be, he had a really deep, and it was a funny laugh. And he would make you laugh because of his laughing. And it was so powerful and unbelievable. Now, you know, I don't necessarily call that a spiritual gift, but what I do say is that it's catchy. It catches you on. I don't think, you know, that it's definitely something we need to elevate. But laughing is a positive thing. Laughter is the best medicine, I hear. There's a saying. Well, it's true, because laughter releases chemicals in your body that gets your system moving. It relieves stress and tension and pain, and it improves your mood. It's an actual thing. Laughter, in an appropriate way, can change the entire room from a negative to a positive in a heartbeat. When's the last time you truly laughed and enjoyed people's company? Think about it. We can also practice celebration through art. And when I say art, I'm talking about dance, music, all that stuff coming together. Art brings the same benefits of laughing. It brings stress relief. It brings joy. It brings all that. Music. Sitting around. I know that some of the musicians get together and they play at a house, and it's just a good time of art And it's worship, and it's incredible. There are other people that are incredible painters. There are other people that are great dancers. This is all a positive thing. And so art, we can celebrate through art. And this, the final way, is something I really want to focus on just for a moment. Celebration can be experienced by making family events into a time of celebration and into a time of thanksgiving. Birthdays, graduations, marriages, anniversaries, as well as the smaller things like a job promotion or a project done well. We don't celebrate enough. Michelle and I toured Italy a few years ago for our 20th anniversary, and I learned a lot from the Italians. Hey, they know how to party. So we went to a couple places for dinner, and I sat down, and they cram you in there, and I'm a little bit of a, okay, it's a little close, and how about you just, but I'm here to experience the Italian culture. So we went into this restaurant, we sat down, and there was this couple beside us, and I'm like, okay, let's get this dinner rolling because we got stuff to do. And they kind of started talking to us. And as we were discussing things with them, we got to know them. Great couple. They were celebrating her passing the bar as a lawyer in Italy. And so they were having a celebration. She was shy about her English, but he wasn't. And they just started talking to us. You know, one thing led to another. We're hanging out. We're having a great conversation, great chat. And they told me this. They said, in Italy, dinner is an event. Dinner can go on from dinner to who knows when, all night long. You don't just have dinner, get up, and go and do something else. You sit down, and you absorb that whole crowd. You hang out. You experience everything. And I walked away from that and said, from now on, we're doing that. Because it changes everything. It changes why you've come together. You're not just there to eat. My family, you know, my brothers were like, if you're going to have a dinner, let's just eat and get out of here. That was their thing. Put it out on the table. Doesn't matter if it's still in the pots. Let's just get her done and go. Right? Hey, good to see you. Nice whatever. Hope you have a good life. I'm leaving. I'll see you next year. And it was just like that. It wasn't a celebration. And then normally there are other drama, typical dysfunction. But it made it entertaining, yet it was not a celebration. So I decided I wanted it to always be a celebration. And that's why when we come here, this should be a celebration. When we meet downstairs for communion feast, there's a reason why we call it, because we want to commune together. It's a celebration of what Christ has done for every single one of us. And it needs to be an event. Don't just go down and eat and then leave. Don't be that person. Start talking to other people, people you don't normally talk to. I know, it's awkward and uncomfortable. If I have to give you a script, come talk to me. I'll tell you what to ask if you're nervous. But do it. And if you see somebody sitting at a table all by themselves, please, please, somebody go over there. They won't bite you. In all the years that I've been here, no one's bitten anyone that I know of for sure. No one's told me this specifically. It's very possible, but I haven't heard it. Go talk to them. It's a celebration. You're trying to include, not exclude. So if you see it, just go over and chat. Nobody's saying you got to sit there all day long. Chat. Celebrate that we're together. And when you have family events, make it a big deal. It doesn't have to be over the top. It doesn't have to be expensive. It just has to be purposeful. You're there to fellowship and enjoy each other's company. Enjoy it. You can go big if you want. You know, there's a saying, overkill is underrated. You could do that, but it doesn't have to be. One thing, we used to always have this problem. Well, you can't have anyone over if the house isn't clean. And by clean, I mean tidy. Our house is very clean. But if you can't have anyone over, because it's not tidy, no one's ever coming over. Because we're busy. We're doing stuff. And so If you're that type of person, guess what? They didn't come over to see how many cups you've left in the sink. They didn't come to check your underwear drawer. Guess what? They're there to see you. You. Don't worry about the rest of it. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've been in some nasty houses. Not here, so let's be clear. For emergency reasons. You're all good. You're all going to be just fine. Okay? Invite people over. Go out with them if you're that nervous. But the point is, they're here to see you. That's why they come to your place. It doesn't matter what size of house you have. Doesn't matter size of apartment. Doesn't matter what. Doesn't matter your social status. It doesn't matter any of that stuff. It doesn't. So every time we meet here, whether it's a Bible study, whether it's a Sunday morning service, whether it's communion feast, whatever the reason we meet, it's for a celebration. Not because we're just doing it out of the mundane, apathetic life that we live. It's because we're here to celebrate. Take advantage of the festivals that our culture really has and really celebrate. Make Christmas awesome. Make Easter awesome. You know what? Dare I say, make Halloween awesome, but focus completely on something better. You can do that. There's nothing in the Bible that says if you have a party on Halloween to keep people, you know, from going out in the streets, or I don't know what the reason would be, but anyways, there's nothing in the Bible that says you're not allowed to do it. You're not celebrating any pagan gods, people. You're just hanging out, having a good time, bringing people over and fellowshipping. Why? Because of everything that God's done for you. Because you can, and you want to share that with others. Take away all the commercialism, get rid of it. Celebration gives us strength in to live all of the other disciplines. When we faithfully pursue the other disciplines, bring us deliverance from those things that have made our lives miserable. And in turn, it brings and increases our celebration. The decision to set your mind on higher things is a choice. Every discipline we've talked about is a choice. Your choice. You, not my choice for you, not your spouses, not your neighbors, not your kids, not your parents. Your choice. Your decision. From this point forward, to celebrate or not is your choice. That is why celebration is a discipline. It's not something that just happens. It's a conscious choice to celebrate. You can go to a party, sit in a corner and pout like a baby. You can come to church and sit there and nobody talks to me. Or you could go and actually talk to someone and celebrate. Don't wait. Make the move. And if it doesn't go good the first time, don't stop. Basketball players, if they stop the first time they hit a rim, they'd be out. Baby steps. Keep doing it. It's a conscious choice in our thinking, in our everyday living. So when we choose this way, we're choosing the healing and redemptive work that Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. And it will break into our inner lives and our relationships, and the result of that will be joy. It will be joy. So I ask you today, what is your choice? Are you going to choose celebration and joy? Or are you going to choose to be miserable? What's it going to be? Next time you're sitting there and you're starting to feel like, I can't get into what's going on, give yourself a kick in the pants and make the choice. Let's pray. Father, thank you.